You know, 2025, many New Year's resolutions, some very popular ones, save more money, sounds good. Eat healthier, yep, that's good. Exercise more, lose weight, spend more time with family, friends, quit smoking, read more books, make a budget, stop drinking, learn a new language. Out of all the most popular New Year's resolutions, 10% of people actually keep their New Year's resolutions. 10% of people keep their New Year's resolutions. What does the new year say? What does it speak? A new year, a blank page, a reset. I can do this. But unfortunately, no matter what we go into or finish, many do not last to their New Year's resolution because of the pressure, the expectations, the stress. Sometimes New Year's resolutions don't work because our New Year's resolutions are too vague. Sometimes people want to say their New Year's resolutions to be happy. We all be happy. Let's be happy. We take happy pills. We be happy. Be happy. So many people fail at their New Year's resolutions. With that this morning, and we're going to hold the thought of a New Year's resolution. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim in Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylonian as captives. Select strong, healthy, good-looking young men. This is what me and Kim are doing for our daughters. Select strong, healthy, good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they're well-versed in every good branch of learning, gifted with knowledge and good judgment, suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, and Ezra was called Abednego. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. So he asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel, but he responded, "I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and you drink this wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other young people your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded." Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 12. "Please test us for 10 days on a diet, vegetables and water. Test us 10 days, diet, vegetables and water," Daniel said. "And at the end of 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then you make your decision in light of what you see." The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier, better nourished than the young men who'd been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. God gave these four young men unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect, literature, wisdom. God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. Verse 18, when the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the other magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. And so as we start today, we understand that, you know, starting 2025, it's already started. We know it started last week, but here we are, the first Sunday, 2025. Starting 2025 is important that we started in the right direction. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you in the right direction? Are you in the right direction? And so as we look at this story this morning, we ask ourselves in 2025, have I placed myself to be in the right direction? The first thing we see in our story, you know, Jerusalem captured again. Turn to your neighbor and say, again? Oh my gosh, again. And why do we say again? I don't know if you've ever, if something has ever happened to you again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Or maybe your friend happens again and again and again. How many of us know people that they just like get in car accidents again and again and again? Or they slip and fall again and again and again. How many of us know people that just certain things seem to happen over and over again? Jerusalem captured and recaptured 44 times. Jerusalem, the people of our story today, captured, recaptured 44 times. It was besieged 23 times. It was attacked 52 times. And it was destroyed twice. Now, these are the people of God. And so we ask ourselves, why would the people of God, why would their town, why would their city, why would their home place be captured and recaptured 44 times? These are the people of God. Why would their place be besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, and destroyed twice? Well, simply because the Jewish community, like us sometimes our eyes can wander. And instead of being happy with the life that we have, we start to wonder about a life that maybe somebody else is living. And why is that life over there look better than the life I'm living here? And sometimes we as people, for whatever reason, like the Jewish people, they got in trouble every single time when they started to watch their neighbors. Their neighbors would take their babies and burn them to a statue. For whatever reason, this enticed the Jewish community. Oh my gosh, if we take our children and burn them too, their God can do something for us. They would get bored. The God of the Bible, who saved them, who delivered them. He brought them out of Egypt. He fed them from manna for 40 years. He did all kinds of things. People, these people, us people, let's be honest, got bored or got tired or got bitter, got angry, got frustrated with God. And what happened, taking eyes off him? Why are they doing that? That looks like so much fun over there. Why are they burning their babies? I didn't really like that one anyway. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And then they started to get enticed by what everybody was doing. Enticement killed these people every time. When they started doing, my friends are doing this, so I probably should too. My friends are saying this, so I should say this too. My friends are watching this, so I should watch this too. Enticement, for whatever reason, in human nature, it kills us every single time. Why do we sometimes, and it was even one of the Ten Commandments, do not envy or want what doesn't belong to you. Keep your head, your heart, mind, and soul inside yourself. And the Jewish community, crazy. Captured, recaptured 44 times, besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, destroyed twice. Why? Because sinners and evil and craziness entice them at times. And they allowed sometimes negative emotions to take over their hearts. Like I said, envy, insecurity, bitterness, anger, boredom. God, unfortunately, is a God of justice, as we know. That's why Galatians 6:7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live to themselves, those who live to satisfy themselves, will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So don't ever get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Proverbs 1:10. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. James 1:14, temptation does not come from God. Temptation comes from our desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Proverbs 14:30, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, but jealousy is like cancer in the bones. James 3:16, whenever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and evil of every kind. Lastly, Proverbs 24:1, don't envy evil people or desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their words stir up trouble. The Jewish people and the Jewish community and us this morning, we get into trouble every single time for whatever reason, when our heart is not guarded, when our mind is not guarded, when our feelings are not guarded, and we allow one thing to creep in. And so for the Jewish community, as we start our text, they were taken captive again. Turn to your neighbor and say, again. Oh my gosh, again. And then again. That was one of the songs we sang this morning. And again, and again, and again, and again. And here they are again in trouble, taken captive again because of sin. This morning, I don't know where you found yourself in 2024 and where you find yourself this morning, but understand that the Bible is very clear. You cannot mock the justice of God. If there's any kind of sin in your life, you will pay for it. It will pay for it. And if you envy what other people have, you will pay for it. It says it's like cancer in your bones. But it goes far deeper than just that. There's insecurities, there's fears, there's anger, there's bitterness, there's rebellion. Sometimes in our hearts, those will also come at a price. And so as the Jewish community got taken captive again, I think it's an important question to ask ourselves as we do take a quick look into 2024. Was there any part of my life that I allowed to be taken captive? Was there any part of my life, was there any part of my thoughts, any part of my feelings, any part of my spiritual life, what it should be, what it was and what it should be, did I allow to be taken captive? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, inasmuch, refute arguments and theories and reasonings, every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. We need to lead every thought and purpose away captive in obedience to Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And so the first thing we see this morning and we take note of, I need to make sure in 2025 I'm taking my thoughts, my feelings that maybe used to be held captive by somebody else, and I'm making sure that my thoughts and my feelings and my life are in the right direction. Secondly, this morning we see these men. There was four wonderful young men here who were selected and assigned. They were picked. And for these men, I have to wonder, coming from Jerusalem, their hometown, being away from family, they were taken captive. They were kidnapped and taken. They were picked to be a part of this in the royal palace. They were going to be men who were used for the king's purposes. They're going to be trained for 3 years. Magic, the ways of Babylonian, King Nebuchadnezzar, all the things that he was and all the things that he was, he wanted to ingrain into their brain. He wanted to retrain them and help them forget their past. And he wanted them to soak in who he was and become like him. Magic and astrology, all the things that they were concerned about. But he felt like he'd been a nice guy, so he was going to offer them the best food, the food that he ate at his table, the best wine. We know kings don't drink cheap wine. The best wine, the best food. And so for 3 years, these men, even though they were taken captive, four men, even though they were taken captive, even though they were brought into a weird place, they were foreigners in a weird place. They did not fit in. Their clothes were out of style. They were different clothes than what they wore. Everything was different. These four men were picked and selected to be part of the king's royal staff, training for 3 years. Free food, free wine. I mean, how many of us would like, sign me up? Sounds like a good deal to me, right? Get 3 meals a day, get a bed, I get to hang out in the palace with the king. I was kidnapped and taken from my home, but maybe it's not too bad. But I wonder this morning, for these four guys, did they ever feel trapped? Did they feel robbed? Did they feel that they were forced to do something Maybe honestly they didn't want to do it, even though it sounded good. Even though it sounded good, did they have the feeling, I'm trapped here, I'm robbed, I have no other choices? For these men in this story, did they think, I have to obey or I'm going to die? This isn't my hometown. The king's not my dad or my uncle. It's not my cousin. I'm not related to these people. Did they ever think in their mind, oh my gosh, I'm trapped, I'm robbed of this life? And I wonder for these four guys, how were they brought up and what kind of attitude did they have? You know, our attitude doesn't speak loudly when life goes our way. Attitude, a good attitude, doesn't speak when everything's nice, perfect, and rosy. But your attitude, the one that makes the biggest difference, the attitude that has the loudest voice, is the attitude of when life isn't going our way. When we do feel trapped, when we do feel robbed, when we do feel out of place, when our life feels trapped and robbed and out of place, I'm in a different place in a different moment. I'm like, caught in a time loop. I just feel different. Aliens have trapped me and I'm sucked into their beam. Your attitude and my attitude will speak the loudest, not when life is good, but when life is not how we expect it. And so for these four men, we ask ourselves, what kind of attitude do they have? Pretty darn good. Philippians 2:13 says, God's working in you. He will give you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. So do everything without complaining and arguing, so no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and then my work was not useless. These four guys, you could say these words here spoke about them very truthfully. They didn't complain or argue. They lived clean, innocent lives as children of God, and they shined like bright lights in a world that was full of crooked and perverse people. And so number two this morning for 2025, what does God ask me to do? Shine bright for him 24/7. Shine bright for him 24/7. Thirdly, we see in our story these men, they make a very bold statement. They were brought into the royal service. They were told, this is what you're going to do. Daniel, kind of the leader out of the group, says, no. We don't eat food that's been offered to idols. We don't drink wine that's been offered on altars for idols. We don't eat that stuff. It's unclean. We don't eat and drink that. No, sorry. And I don't need to be bribed, even though you've taken me captive and kidnapped me. Daniel's saying, I don't need to be bribed by nice things. This is who I am. This is who I believe in. And I only want to eat vegetables and drink water. This statement that he makes, so bold. He was not making this statement. Now, it makes sense for 2025 because most people's goals, always most popular, be more healthy, lose weight, exercise. We would think, Daniel, maybe this is a new year for him. So he's thinking, it's my New Year's resolution. I promised that I was going to have vegetables and water only this year. But that's not the case. This diet that he's speaking about, vegetables and water, it was not to better himself. This was a statement of his faith in God. I'm eating vegetables and water, and I'm not going to touch the king's food because I don't believe or trust in his God. I only believe and trust in my God. This is a very bold statement, and he is not making it again because he wants to be healthy and lose weight. He's making this statement because he's saying, I will only serve and worship my God, and I follow what he tells me to do, not what the king tells me to do. This right here is concerns to put this man to death. There's four men who are sticking out, and they're using their mouth and their words to make a stand. They're being bold. I'm not going to bow down to the king. I don't care, but I will not do that. His servant that he's talking to says, listen, if you don't take this food and drink wine with us, I could be beheaded. I could be beheaded. I could lose my life. Number three, we tell ourselves in 2025, I must stand for God in every situation. As Daniel made a stand here with his statement for what he would eat, again, he's not making the statement for himself to better himself. He's making the statement for the stand of his faith in God. Stand for God in every situation this year. Number four, we see that even as the servant came to them and said, listen, I could lose my life and I'll be beheaded. Daniel didn't change his mind. He didn't go, you know what? That's right, you probably will be beheaded, and then I'll be beheaded, and then we'll all be beheaded, and what's the good in that? Daniel stood his ground multiple times with this guy. Daniel stood his ground. He stood up to the king. He stood up to evil people. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to stand up. It's not for myself. I'm standing for my faith. You know, many people, we love to use God as an excuse. Well, God never told me to do that, so I don't have to do that. Many people, we love to use God for everything, right? When bad things happen, why, God, did you do this to me? Instead of saying, what did I do wrong? It's, God, why did you do this to me? We love to blame God. We love to blame God, and then we like to use God's name to make excuses for ourselves. Well, I don't want to do this. God would never force me to give money. God would never force me to feed the homeless. God would never want me to walk around the streets and give clothes and help people and do nice things for people. God would never do that. God wouldn't want me to open up my mouth and tell people about the Bible. Why would God want me to do that? That's weird. God wouldn't want me to be made fun of. God wouldn't want me to be mocked by someone if I stood up and made a stand. It's amazing how God uses people. We use God to make excuses here. These four guys, they didn't cave in. They did not give up, even though this guy said, listen, I will be beheaded. You will be beheaded. What did Daniel say? I am not giving up. And so the fourth thing we tell ourselves is, don't give up this year, don't give in, and don't cave. No matter what people say to you, no matter what the enemy, no matter what the devil, no matter what anyone says, don't give up, don't give in, and don't cave in as Daniel speaks strong. 2 Chronicles 15:7 says, but as for you, be strong, don't give up, for your work will be rewarded. Galatians 6:9, don't ever get tired of doing what's good. At the right time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. So many believers, they start to do good, and then they give up. They start to do good, and then somebody side smacks them, and then their heart gets swayed, and then they start walking backwards, and then they start getting angry, rebellious, and bitter, and all these things start happening. Paul says, don't get tired of doing what's good. The right time, you're going to reap the harvest that God has for you. All of us who choose to do right, to give our life to God, to get closer to God, to start making better decisions, to make a godly stand, we will always face something. It's amazing how when life seems to be going so good, everything seems to be going so right, next thing you know, you open the door and it's like smack in the face. How many of us, when life, it seems like everything's peaceful and calm, everything is good, then next thing you know, the devil is just there always, always trying to throw a rock into our life to get us to step on a nail. He's always constantly trying to bring us down. So number four, remember, don't give up, don't give in, don't cave. Number five, we see that Daniel, for him, in a new place, a new home, and a new start, he could have just chosen the easy route in this story. He could have said, because again, like many of us, if we were to take a poll, and most of us this morning wouldn't be honest, but if we were to be in the same exact situation, how many would have just chosen to eat the king's food? It probably was delicious. You don't serve crap, no offense, to the king. You don't just give him scraps and junk. This food was given to the king. He was giving them the king's food and the king's wine. This was the best of the best for this place. And how many of us, even though our religion and our faith and God says you don't eat food that's offered to idols and you do not eat certain things, they're not good for you. How many of us would have just caved in and said, you know what, it's probably just the easy thing to do here. Now, let's be honest, many of us every single day, that's a route that many of us will take. It's just the easier thing to do in this situation. It's the easier thing to cave. It's the easier thing to give in. It's the easier thing. Philippians 3:19 says, many are headed for destruction because God, their God, is their appetite. They brag about things, and they only think about life on earth. God this morning is asking us to choose right over easy, to choose right over convenient, to choose right over being comfortable. God is asking us to choose to do what's right. And so for Daniel in this story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who all were given new names, what were the results? Because how many of us know life is about results? Our bosses like results. How many of us know life? It's about results, right? These men, it said, after eating vegetables for 10 days and drinking water, which none of us, can we give up all the foods we eat and eat vegetables for 10 days? Can we give up French fries, which is extremely hard to do? Give up everything, eating vegetables for 10 days, no wine. These men, four men, in risk of being killed, in the risk of looking stupid, in the risk of maybe their pride being hurt. They made sacrifices. They remained strong. They gave up what their flesh maybe wanted in the moment. These men, this was the results from them doing the right thing. They looked healthier. They looked more nourished. They had more wisdom and understanding than everyone else in the palace. These strangers, foreigners, were far more impressive than anyone. And the king, after 3 years of talking with these four young men, what did he say? They're 10 times more capable, more smarter, more intelligent than anyone else. 10 times. These are the results that all of us want and need in life. For our bosses, for our life, for people to say that we are 10 times more blessed. There's only certain things that God can do. Can we work really hard and become good at something? Absolutely. Man, we can do it. We can put our mind to it. We can achieve many things. But you know, there's one thing that we can't do. We can't sway a town, a community. God, when God is on your side, no one can stop you. When God is for you, nobody can be against you. It does not matter. Are we all going to have enemies in life? You better believe it. There are all going to be people who hate us, push us down, beat us while we're on the ground, abso-stinking-lutely. But if you don't truly have God on your side, and if you're not making a stand for faith in Him, you will not find the blessed life that God has called us to. God has called us to live a blessed, happy, full life. But where does true blessing come from? Where does true blessing come from? Greatness, becoming something beyond just myself, to be fully satisfied. How many people in this life, search it, Google it, just talk to people, are looking for happiness and peace, love. They are searching, they are wanting, but they're not finding. Why? Because they're not following the plan. They're not following the instructions. There's only one way to be fully satisfied. There's only one way to be fully blessed. There's only one way, and it's following the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, Luke 9:23, if any of you wants to be my follower, give up your own way. Take up your cross daily, a sign of symbol, death, sacrifice, suffering. Follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. If you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. What benefit do you gain if you gain the whole world, but you yourself are lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here will not die before they see the kingdom of God. There are words that Jesus spoke that made us feel so good. Love, peace, happiness, salvation. And then we see other things that he said that maybe just don't sound so good. Nah, this sounds a little rough. Jesus said, I have to give it my way? What? Jesus said, I have to take up my cross daily? Jesus said, I have to follow him? Jesus said, I'm not allowed to hang on to my life, because if I do, I'm going to lose it? Jesus said, if I give up my life, that's the only way that I'm going to find real life. He said, if I try to gain the world, I'm going to lose. And Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me at any point in your life, I will be ashamed of you. Ouch. To be fully satisfied, to be blessed beyond measure, to be blessed, fully satisfied beyond measure, it goes way beyond myself, goes way beyond you. And it's a life that is only dedicated to Jesus. We see that in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These four men, these individuals, kidnapped, taken captive. They had a hard life. Because how many of us know people, we have excuses because it's a hard life. Look at what's been done to me. Look at what they've done to me. Look at what they said to me. These four guys, they had every right to make excuses. We were kidnapped and taken from our home. We were playing video games and they stole us right in the middle of that game. They grabbed me, right, as I was about to eat dinner. They took me captive, away from my family, my friends, my horse, my BMW. All the reasons they were taken and put into a prison, captive. These four men had every reason to talk about the past, to sit there and complain of all the things done to them. They had every right. Life was horrible. But one thing they forgot, and one thing we forget, it was the people's sin that caused them to be taken captive. And sometimes in our hard situations, we look around and we tend to blame everyone else for our hard situations, when we never, ever look inside to see, is there any sin in me? Is there any sin in me? Jesus said that if you want to be fully satisfied, if you want to be blessed beyond measure, give up your life, follow me, take up your cross, follow me every single day. And number 7 in our text today is lived an unashamed life of Jesus. Live an unashamed life of Jesus. This morning, as we start to wrap up, the question, do New Year's resolutions work? Do they really honestly work? For some people, they might. Really, but not for everybody, because we know that 10% on average, 10% average people, it works for. The other people don't. And why do they not work? You know why they don't work? Psalms 1:1. Psalm 1:1 says, the joys who do not follow the advice of the wicked, stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Why do New Year's resolutions, why do new beginnings, why does hope in God, trust in God, faith in God, for many, sometimes not last? Psalms 1:1, the joy of those who do not follow, listen to the advice of the wicked, or stand around with people who are bad. Because then what happens? The word join in, but actually means to sit. So many of us, we have a hard time moving forward, attaining to be fully blessed beyond measure, to be fully healed, to see provision greater than we've ever seen before. Why? Because we're listening. Psalms 1:1, you listen to the wrong person. It starts with listening. Once you start listening, once you start Googling the wrong thing and listening to the wrong advice, listening brings you into standing next to my new buddy. And then after you sit, or after you listen, and after you stand, most people eventually, they just join right in. Why do resolutions not work? Why do we as people sometimes stop growing in our faith? Why is it that the blessing of God may be cut off? Why do we see more harder things at times than blessing? It's because of who we started to listen to. And sometimes, believe it or not, it's even listening to ourselves. And sometimes it's even listening to our own thoughts. And see, the problem with listening and standing and then eventually sitting, let's be honest, many of us, if you sit in this chair, we can sit and look at each other, right? But that's not the chair that we choose to sit in. Because unfortunately, what we choose to sit in is this chair. And now what? Yeah, you can see my back, but I can't see you. The devil, our enemy, what does he do? This is where you should sit. This is what you should listen to. This is who you should stand by. Until it's too late. And then you can't see in the direction that you knew you should be headed in. Psalms 1:1, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. And a question this morning as you take out your pen and paper. I want to say this is going to be brief. It's going to be quick. And it's going to get dumped afterwards. But we have a basket on the communion table. And to honestly ask ourselves, and I don't want us to look at any neighbors and what they're going to write. But is there anywhere that we sat in 2024 that maybe we shouldn't have taken the seat? Is there any conversations that we sat in on and then we joined in? And is there any direction and thoughts that we got stuck? And then I used to see here, but now I can't see so clear. So now I feel like I'm blinded a little bit. Is there anything in 2024 that maybe God's saying, I don't know if you fully left it, this behind yet. You sat in the wrong seat and now you can't see. So we're going to take a minute. We're just going to write down if there's anything that comes to your heart, mind, and soul that maybe you know in 2024. And I pray that you look at this not based and judged on what people have done to you, but hopefully you look on this and make a decision to put on this knowing only what you have in your heart and what you have in your mind. It doesn't matter what people say and do to you, but it matters your outcome. Where did we sit in 2024? Where did our thoughts sit in 2024? Where did our feelings sit in 2024? Where did our spiritual life go in 2024? And let's be honest, because truthfully, once we sit down, how many of us know, the older you get, what happens? You don't want to get up, right? When we're younger, shoot, man. When I was a kid, video games, I did not care because I wanted to be outside playing and running the world, right? But how many of us know the older we get, you sit now, I just don't know if I can get back up. Sometimes we don't want to get back, and then sometimes it's like, I can't get back up. Can you help me? Can you give me a hand? Where in our lives in 2024 is God saying, get off that seat. It's time to let go. Anything in your life that maybe took you captive this year, you're saying, I'm going to let go. God wants me freed from this. I'm going to let go. And sometimes, believe it or not, even good things are not bad. I mean, good things are bad. Sometimes we look at the past and we hold on to good things from the past and we say, oh, those were the good and glorious days. And sometimes this morning, there could be something good in your past you're holding on to, but it's stopping and blocking you from what God has for you in the future. So if there is anything good that is blocking you, once you're done writing, you can fold it up. You can crumble it up. But sometimes you have to make a stand. Sometimes you have to do something different. And sometimes we need to have honest conversations of really, what seat and what direction did I put my life in last year? And what direction am I going in this next year? So as I was praying and asking God, you know, where do we go as a church? What do we do? And you know that I seem to love themes, so the theme for 2025 is let's stand and thrive in 2025. Let's stand and thrive in 2025. And how are we going to stand and thrive in 2025? To gather, to strengthen, to rebuild, to sharpen all the things that God has for me. To gather, to strengthen, to rebuild, to sharpen all the things that God has for me. Last year we ended with fighting the good fight. Paul stating to believers then and to believers now, go after all that God has for you. But how many of us know, how do we go and fight when we don't have the tools, when we don't have what we need to learn to fight spiritually? So 2025, let's stand and thrive in what God has for us. So the men in our story this morning, Daniel chapter 1, we see Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were taken captive, kidnapped from their home. They had every reason to be bitter, every reason to be angry, every reason to have hate in their heart. But what did they choose? I'm going to stand for God. The very first, everywhere we go and everything that we do, the first stand is really important. The first statement is really important. And we have to be honest this morning. You know what? We all fall short. There's not one perfect man, not one perfect woman. So don't judge our actions, thoughts, and feelings based on other people and their imperfections. We only need to be responsible for ourselves. You only need to be responsible for yourself. These men did not go on to face an easy, perfect life. We know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, at one moment, they're about to be thrown into a fire because they wouldn't bow down to a statue. These men, Daniel, their other friend, he was thrown into a lion's den. So just because they stood once did not mean that their life was perfect. They continue to stand in every situation. They were not afraid to die because they said, you know what, King? Even if I die, I will never bow down and worship you or your statue. I only worship God. I only worship God. I only worship God. 2024, it's gone. It's in the past. And I pray this morning that all of us know what we need to leave behind so that we can sit, so that we can stand, so that we can head in the right direction. God is asking us to stand in 2025. God is asking us to stand up for Him. God is asking us to make a stand for Him. God is asking us. And just as Daniel made a stand back then, if you make the right stand, you will end up thriving. And what is thriving? What is blessing? It's something that you can't obtain on your own. But when you see God give you a blessing, you realize, there's no way I could have done this. God did this for me. How do I get to that point? What did Jesus say? Follow me. Give up your life. Take up your cross. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Take up your cross. Give your life for me, and He will bless you. We're going to close and pray.